Morning, everybody. This is Howard Partridge, and I want to welcome you to session number 5 of our 6-week live online training. Let me know that you can hear me okay by typing in the questions for staff bar, and let's make sure I've got enough bandwidth going on here. I'm in Las Vegas. So let's see. Good morning, Celeste, Kurt, Gail, Jackie, Larry, Mark, Nate. All right, so coming in, yes, yo, Nate, all right. Let's see, Celeste, I can hear you but can't see you. Okay, I'm not going to show my video today because I haven't shaven yet. I have showered, but I haven't done my hair. I'm in Las Vegas. It's 7 a.m. over here, and we've got a full day. We've got Ellen Rohr on the stage today. And just trade show, and got my team out here. It's just phenomenal. Nate, the hurricane was nothing. Nothing happened, except for the fact that it took about 2 minutes for my wife to convince me that it would be in my best interest to leave, even if nothing happened, just because I would be a happier man by doing what she wanted me to do. So I lost the battle very quickly. Fortunately, I was able to change our flights with not very much expense. We got to Houston and spent Labor Day weekend in Houston. Got a lot done, a ton of stuff done. We didn't have any plans, so we're able just to get a whole bunch of stuff done. All right, so I wanted to remind you that you do have a handout if you want to print that out and fill it in. You don't have to do that right now, but this is a great exercise that we'll go through a little bit later in the program, which I call the Simple Dimple Thumbnail Budget. But let me go ahead and get my PowerPoint up so that we can follow along the slides here. Our mission here at Phenomenal Products is to help you stop being a slave to your business. And if you're going to stop being a slave to your business and build a predictable, profitable, which is what we're going to focus on today, turnkey operation, then you're going to need to have systems in your business. And what this series is all about is teaching you what we call our foundational systems. These are the Simple Dimple systems that I created over the last 32 years and perfected, and that people in hundreds of different industries are using successfully right now. I want to remind us also that the one and only reason that your business exists is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. I want to encourage you to wake up every morning and think about where you are in your life in all 7 of these areas. I want to also encourage you to read or listen to 7 Secrets of a Phenomenal Life. Life stands for living in freedom every day. There's no freedom in being a slave to your business. There's no freedom in being in debt. There's no freedom in not making enough money. There's no freedom in not having great relationships with your family, your team members, and the people that you're doing business with. Well, we started out with GPS, and it all starts with goals, plans, and systems. And then we moved into phenomenal marketing systems. We covered phenomenal sales systems. Last week, we did phenomenal operations systems. And this week, we're doing phenomenal administration systems. Marketing is everything that you do to attract prospects to your business. Sales is everything that you do to convert prospects into paying customers. Operations is everything that you do to service your clients, your patients, your members, or guests. And administration is everything that you do to track your numbers. And then, of course, next week, the final session will be on leadership, phenomenal leadership systems. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So that's going to be a very important training module in class next week. Again, administration is everything that you do to track your numbers. Phenomenal administration delivers vital stats that gives you the proper feedback on your progress. When you have a phenomenal administration system, That's a group of working parts that duplicates results consistently. What kind of results? Proper feedback. You have to have feedback. Remember that your business is a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. And most small business owners have one business. Most small business owners don't have multiple streams of income. And the type of vehicle that you have, the type of vehicle that you use to go where you want to go. If you think about where you want to go and your destination, I was in a presentation yesterday, and one of my early mentees, one of my early proteges, Jim Bardwell, who was my special referral marketing agent for 8 years. I launched Phenomenal Products while he was there. He was like my right-hand man, like my Santiago back then. And he moved on because it was time for him to go and pursue his life goals, and he's living his dream. And he didn't even know I was going to be in the presentation. And the entire presentation, throughout the entire presentation, he talked about how I helped him reach his dreams. And he talked about the quote that I always use, that your business is a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. And he pointed out that it's also the vehicle that your team members are using to achieve their life goals. So we're all in this together. And he had a little slide that said planes, trains, and automobiles. And he brought a guy up front, in the front, and he said, I want you to draw a picture of your ultimate destination, ultimate travel destination. Money is no object. And the guy wants to go to Oktoberfest in Germany. So Jim was like, well, all right, so let's look at some of the vehicles. Can you get there on a bicycle? No. Can you get there with a car? No. You need an airplane. Actually, you need a combination of vehicles, actually, on both ends. You're going to need a vehicle to get to the airport and so on and so forth. But this is the cockpit of a 747, and in Inner Circle, our starting membership is Inner Circle 747. And that's why I used the cockpit of a 747 to talk about administration, because what happens is your business is a vehicle, and every vehicle has an instrument panel, some more complex than others, but you have this instrument panel that's giving you all this feedback on your progress. So I want to break it down. You have a life goal, you have a dream, you have a destination in mind, and you have mile markers along the way. When you're flying on an airplane, they have that little printout that shows you the route and shows you, you know, how far you are on the route, and you can follow along. So you have all these instruments here, and in your business, that's your profit loss, that's your balance, your balance sheet. That's that's your sales reports. That is your production reports. That is your go back or redo or return stats. And you want to track every single thing that you can. Now, we're going to focus on profits today because it's all about profits. Now, I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, I got my companies in tremendous debt. Our lines of credit were maxed out. We knew how to make money. We knew how to sell. We knew how to increase revenue. But my expenses were all out of whack. My labor rate was too high. I spent money like a drunken sailor. And my attitude was, I used what I called the Elvis Presley accounting method. Here's how it goes. Don't worry about how much money you spend. I mean, Elvis would be out here in Las Vegas, and he'd run into a stranger, felt sorry for him, or just, you know, the kindness of his heart, and buy a stranger an $80,000 Mercedes, and Vernon, his father Vernon, and his wife Priscilla back there at Graceland getting all these bills from all this ridiculous stuff, and, you know, how are we going to pay these bills? He said, don't worry about it. We'll just get another gig, and it was true. He and Colonel Tom Parker would be out here in Vegas, and they'd do a $1 million deal on a tablecloth, as legend has it. And I operated my business that way. We just go make some more money, just generate some more money. But then life became about making that monthly payment. My credit cards were maxed out, lines of credit maxed out, high interest rate credit cards. Some of you on this webinar today, on this training, might be in that same position. And all along, I had a partner by the name of Scott Zack who warned me about that, who was always after me, but we just didn't, I didn't communicate. He didn't know how to get through to me, and I wouldn't listen to him. So he left, and I bought both of my partners out, again, on payments, paid them every single month. I did get through it, and the way that I got through it is a consultant by the name of Ellen Rohr, who's on the screen right there, was speaking at the very same convention that I'm at in Las Vegas right now. I'd been reading her articles, and I liked what she said, but my experience had been meeting people who were on the stage and finding out that they were a different person backstage than they were on stage. I sat in the audience skeptical, and my buddies, my team and I were on the back row, and I got my arms crossed, and okay, let's see what this lady's all about. She rolls out there on the stage and she immediately gets the audience involved. Tell me who's got an elevator pitch or whatever she called it. Guy stands up and says, well, here's what I learned from this guy named Howard Partridge. And he starts going through the 60-second commercial that we teach you in marketing, you know, the 5-point marketing message. She was like, I love that. I don't know who this Howard Partridge guy is, but I like him. Of course, when someone says they like you, then you immediately like them. So she offers this little package. And everybody's there at her table, and they're asking questions about, do I get this, and what about that, and hemming and hawing. I walk up and give her my credit card, which, by the way, was probably all the money I had available that particular month, right, on that credit card, in debt, but I'm still investing money. In this particular case, it was a good thing because I said, just give me your biggest package. She said, do you want to know how much it is? I said, no. Okay, she writes it up. We become great friends and colleagues, and she began to coach me and some of our top members at that time. And then I hired her to come in and install our financial systems because I'd gotten to a point where I was tired of living that way. And Scott's still after me about, you know, Dave Ramsey stuff and all this. And so I finally got it. I finally got the right mindset on that it's about profit. And I want to encourage you, we actually have an 8-week Financial Blast series with Ellen Rohr that she did here recently in the Inner Circle. So when you join the Inner Circle, you'll get access to that. We can also offer that as a course to you, and you can get the replays and download her entire system for only like $5.97. And so we started installing those systems little by little. I did have to fire some people. But we got through it over a 6-month period, got those systems in place. And then I brought Scott back as my administration manager. And as you'll see in just a minute, our business has become super, super profitable. We don't carry any credit card debt. We don't use our lines of credit. And thankfully to God, we have money in the bank. And I'm telling you that you can be hugely profitable, but you're going to have to install these systems in order to do it. So I want to show you a very simple way to do this. By the way, as a side note, there's a phenomenal book called Profits First. Profit First or Profits First. I don't remember if it's Profits or Profit, but phenomenal book. It's all about the profit. But every business in the entire world, it doesn't matter if you're brand new or if it's one of Warren Buffett's many businesses, every small business on the planet only has 5 numbers on the income statement. What I've found and also been Ellen approved is that when you understand these 5 numbers and what to do with these 5 numbers, and you get your system set up where you can track these numbers, then you're going to be in a position to not only see what's happening with your numbers, but I'm going to show you a very simple way that that you can plan for profits, and you're going to have a guide to be able to make some decisions. So every business hopefully has sales. That's your income. And then the second one is cost of goods sold, COGS. And most income statements that are done on QuickBooks, unfortunately, in the templates, this is missing. And so one of the things that you're going to have to do is go in and find out what your cost of goods sold is, because that's like the most important, one of the most important numbers. They're all important, but it's key to being able to plan your finances, and I'll show you why in just a minute. Cost of goods sold is essentially the things that are consumed or used in making the sale. It's usually labor and materials. If you're producing a product, then it's the material cost. If you have workers involved making that product or service company, then it's the labor involved there. Yesterday in Las Vegas, we were at one of our Inner Circle members' location. They have a plumbing company here in Las Vegas. What a phenomenal couple they are. They've been with us for, I guess, about a year, and they're just eating it up. We went in the office, and our mission statement's on the wall, and Ellen Rohr stuff's on the wall, and Ziegler stuff's on the wall. I mean, they're just working the systems. They got a great business, a great vision. They're very smart people. And the reason I bring that up is because in the plumbing industry, when they install like a water heater or something like that, there's a cost of goods sold there. There's parts and materials there that can be significant. So we have to know what that gross profit's going to be, what that gross margin is that we're looking at in a business like that. So your gross profit is your sales minus your cost of goods sold, and then you have your fixed expense, which that's your overhead. Those are the things that don't change at least much on a month-to-month or year-to-year basis. Those bills, those expenses, if you will, are going to be there no matter what. This is, you know, your rent. This is vehicle payments. This is your telephone bill. All that's going to be there. Now, your marketing might vary some based on your plans, and hopefully it is a plan and you're not just spending money on marketing because of opportunities. These are some of the things that we get into in the Inner Circle, is how you make decisions on your marketing and getting someone to coach you through that process, because what happens is we get lazy when we spend money on marketing instead of doing the things that we know are going to work, like client-based marketing and referral marketing and those kinds of things. You know, somebody calls up or comes by or whatever, and you buy some ad that doesn't have a prayer of working. Now, I invest a lot of money testing. Sometimes I test and spend money on things that I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'll never know until I try it. I just invested $33,000 on Facebook ads, $37,000 on Facebook ads over the last few months. Now, if that ends up working in the long run, it could be huge for us, and that was on a recommendation of one of my consultants. Now, because the fact that it didn't work yet, like it should have, is that his fault? No. Is it my fault? Not necessarily. We just didn't get the formula right. But we learned through that process. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. We didn't lose because now we know what's possible. One thing that they were able to do is they were able to generate a ton of leads for us and get a whole bunch of people on a webinar. But the webinar doesn't convert with people who don't really know us, like us, and trust us yet. Most everybody probably that's on here today, you've had some exposure to us, and that's one of the reasons I love doing live stuff like this, like we're doing in Vegas, because we get to meet people, and all of business is about relationships, and that's the thing I don't like about some of the online stuff. But the point is that I test heavily, and that's okay, but you test once you're super profitable. Until then, you want to stay with the tried and true and make sure that you're implementing the marketing that's going to work. And of course, the most important number on here is your net. All right. The reason that this is so important is because, first of all, this could happen to anybody. You grow the business just like I did. You increase sales, but your expenses go up so high that your profits actually disappear because you have to hire people. Maybe you did some marketing like that and you didn't really think it through and you didn't have the money really to test it. So you have to have a plan of how you're going to invest. And, you know, for example, let's say that you increase revenue through marketing, but then you have to hire someone on a salary, and that salary costs more than once it costs more than the gross profit, and you're actually losing money. You have to remember that your business exists for one reason and one reason only, and that is to be a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Well, your life goals include making a profit. Your profit funds your dream. It's as simple as that. So if you look at that wheel of life and you think about that financial spoke, most small business owners, again, that's their only source of income. Maybe your spouse works or something like that, but in most cases, at least starting out, that's your primary source of income. And if you start looking at the fact that so many small business owners are financing their business on credit cards, you're really just losing money and it's not helping you at all. So we have to make enough money in our business to pay ourselves, to hopefully get debt free personally, to pay our taxes, and that's not going to happen by accident. Remember that a business without a profit is just a hobby. And if your business, if you're a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week slave to your business, that's not a very good hobby. It might be better just to go get a job, you know. So we have to not only learn how to make money, get prospects through marketing, close the sale, serve them right, but we also have to make a profit. And the only way to do that is to understand what's happening with our numbers. Now I'm going to give you a real example of an income statement. In fact, this is my most recent income statement from our service company. I don't mind sharing this with you, and just don't share it with anybody else. This is only for people who are engaged with us. But I was with our client yesterday, and she said, you know, I did a call with Ellen Rohr, and Ellen Rohr just pulled up her income statement, showed it to me right there, and that's how Ellen is. So I'm going to do the same thing right now. This is our latest one-year income statement, and as you can see, over the last 12 months, we've done $3.2 million almost in this business, and we've got a location on the north side of town that is a different business altogether that, you know, does probably $150,000, something like that. We'll probably do 3.5 this calendar year. That's what our goal is. But here's what you want to do. What you want to do is you want to be able to print out your income statement. By the way, one of the things that Ellen's program helps you do is, if you notice, you'll go in and number your different line items on your chart of accounts. So notice that we have notice that we have those five numbers that we talked about. There's your income, there's your cost of goods sold, there's your gross profit, there's your expense, and then we'll look at the net on the next slide. All right, so you want to be able to print that out. And then the other thing that you want to do, and this is what I do every single week, I print out my profit and loss for the last 12 months, for the current month, and for the current year, and here's what I'm looking at. On all of these line items, are they up or are they down? And so I'm looking at first net. I really start with the net and work my way up, but is the income up? So we're up $247,000 over last year. And then we look at the gross profit. and we maintain that pretty much 223,000 right there. And then over here we have the net income, which as you can see was 482, which is up by 275,000. Now that right there is because I have a guy by the name of Scott Zach who crunches these numbers every single day. And I also show you this to show you what's possible. Now, do I take all that money home? No. We leave money in the business. We reinvest in the business. We pay stuff off. We do all those kinds of things. Now, what you just saw is a result of a lot of years of work, a lot of effort in putting LN systems in place. But I'm going to show you right now how you can plan this out on a piece of notebook paper if you have your numbers. All right, first, the first step, and this is actually on your handout. You could actually follow along and do it on your handout. In fact, what I'll do is I think I'm going to bring that up and go over it with you here. All right. Actually, I'm not going to do that because I think it's probably more clear if I do it this way. So you start with your net. All right. So over the next 12 months, how much money does your business need to make to fund your ideal lifestyle, to start getting yourself out of debt if you're in debt, and to pay your taxes? So remember that you got to pay taxes on that net, so you got to have enough money. Your business has to make enough profit. Here's the other thing. You see a big profit number there, but the thing is that you've got stuff that doesn't show up on your income statement that I'll show you in just a minute, where you have loan payments and things like that. The only thing that we finance currently is vehicles, because we want to have the newest vehicles, and we play the Section 179 accelerated depreciation game and all of that. And so a lot of those profits are going to go toward vehicle payments too. So I don't want you to think that, well, Howard's just making too much money, because you can, you know, the amount of money you make is dependent upon the vision that you have. And I got a big vision, so I need to make a lot of money. And but all of that doesn't just flow into my pocket. I get a certain amount of money every month. That's my quote-unquote salary, and I'm disciplined to not take money out of that business just on a frivolous whim or whatever. I operate in my own personal budget, which is nice, but that's my personal money, what I get paid. And that way we can reinvest in that equipment, we can pay off that equipment, we can, things come up. We had to pay $35,000 for a roof on our building. We're going to need to repave our parking lot. All kinds of things like that come up. So you got to have money in reserves there, all right? So step one is decide a reasonable goal of what your net income needs to be this coming over the next 12 months. Number two, this is an easy number to find, is to go through your income statement for the past year and find out what your fixed expenses are. Now, you want to go through each of those line items and say, okay, is health insurance going to go up? Yes. Are we going to have some sort of equipment payments? Or are we going to have to buy some computers? Or, you know, in your annual business planning, the budget is one of the biggest things. And you go through each one of those line items to see what your fixed expense is probably going to be. The better you get at planning, the better history you have, and the more predictable your business is, then the easier it is. There's always going to be things that come up that you're not expecting, and that's why you got to have a good, healthy net income. Then you have your gross profit. Oh, by the way, let me talk about fixed expense and what goes in there. These are the expenses that are the same no matter how much sales are. These are administrative salaries, and as far as and it doesn't include, like, like, for example, in our service company, we have technicians in the field. That's going to be in your cost of goods sold because that's your direct labor. Our plumbing company folks over here in Las Vegas, they have technicians, they have parts, they have supplies, they have materials. All of that's going to be up in the cost of goods sold section. And you're really going to learn this stuff if you go through Ellen's 8-week series, all right? And it's already been done, so you don't have to take 8 weeks, but it's 8 training modules that she did live. And once you get in the inner circle, you get access to that at no charge, but you can buy it for $5.97. You could put your owner's salary in here, or you could put it in the profit in the net for planning purposes. And you could also take this advice. My advice to you is that as a business owner, you should get paid for the work that you do in the business, and you should get paid a profit for owning the business and taking the risk as a business owner. What's the advantage of that? When you replace yourself in the business, you already have that funded. As you work toward a turnkey business, I'm not even on the org chart for my service company. I'm not even on the organizational chart. I don't have a job in the business. So the amount of money that I get comes out of our profits, essentially. So it doesn't matter where you put it. It's just a matter of planning it out to make sure that it's there. All right? Now, what about debt, interest, things like this? What I want you to understand is that what you want to do here is you want to create what we call a cash flow budget. You want to use actual payments. Another thing that comes into play here is your accounts payables, your accounts receivables, and those kinds of things. So how much cash did we bring in over the last 12 months on average? What was our overhead, and what's our cost of goods sold percentage, which we'll get to in just a minute, which we're going to get to that right now. Here's what's key to this here. First of all, these are expenses that vary with swings in revenue. So if I do more business, then my cost of goods is going to be higher. This is direct labor and materials only for now to make it easy. Also, a big mistake that people make is they go change everything. Well, any kind of patterns, because it was like, well, just, 6 months ago, we moved this over here, moved that over there, and you're trying to compare apples to oranges. Don't do that. What you want to be able to do is go back and see what was your direct labor, what was your material cost, what's the percentage, and compare that across the board, because that's one of the areas where you're going to be able to start creating more profits. Because if you have people who are not producing, they're underperforming and costing you money, that's going to be an area that you're going to want to deal with. What about benefits on direct labor? Direct labor is labor just involved in doing the work or making the widget. What about their benefits, gasoline, et cetera? Well, I've actually worked with a lot of different financial consultants now over the years, and I learned that every one of them do it just a little bit different. The way that I look at it is we put all the benefits and everything in the overhead. Now, if you have a business that you're going to have dramatic swings in revenue, then, of course, those benefits and taxes, payroll taxes, and gasoline on vehicles and things like that, those numbers are going to swing. So you might want to put it up top. And what I mean by up top is up in the cost of goods sold above the gross profit. All right. And this all might be new and Greek to you, but you're going to get it if you'll study it. And that's the key, is to learn the systems and implement the systems. I didn't want to learn this stuff. I got to a point where I had to learn this stuff, and I don't want you to get there. I want your desire level to be so high that you see your dream, you see that destination, you see where you want to go, and you're willing to put your foot down, go through the pain and agony of making hard choices on your financials, and get yourself in a position where you can live that dream life. And that's what I did. I put my foot down. I said, enough is enough. I'm sick of being sick and tired and transferring, you know, dollars from account to account and putting off vendors and not being able to pay my credit cards off and all those kinds of things. I just got sick and tired. And I said, I'm going to learn how to read these financials if I go snowblind. And I did. But here's what I learned. That's not my gift, is not crunching the numbers, and I don't have the patience for it. So I had to get people involved, like Ellen, or like and like Scott. But now, since I have a simple system, all I have to do is what I did this morning. Those screenshots that you saw, I pulled that up this morning and threw them in the PowerPoint, because the one that I've been using is from like 2011. So I was like, it's time to update that thing. I don't mind showing you that. Hopefully it's inspirational to you. Maybe if you're a savvy business owner, you say, hey, well, couldn't your net profit percentage be higher? Yes. I could be in there, well, yes and no. I could be in there running that business, paying my directors less, but I'm not reaching my life goal. I'm not, you know, then I'm not building phenomenal products, then I'm not going to the beach, I'm not doing the things, I'm not living my life goals, I'm not living my ideal lifestyle. And secondly, if I get in there and fool around with it, I'm liable to mess it up and not make as much profit as we're making. All right, so I'm looking at the bottom line amount, not necessarily the percentage. I'm willing to pay my managers, my directors, I'm willing to pay them more to do it for me so I don't have to do it. As long as we're making money, we're moving forward, we're making record sales and profits, obviously we are, then, and I'm living my life, I'm fine. All right? You want $100,000 in net income. Let's say that your fixed expenses are $150,000. That means that your overhead needs to be, or your gross profit, excuse me, needs to be $250,000. So I'm just showing you a simple way to plan your business on a piece of notebook paper. If you can print an income statement, and that's important. You got to get yourself in a place where you can print your income statements, that you don't have to wait for some accountant to produce your income statement for you 45 days after the month is over. You need to be able to monitor that. Remember, it's the vital feedback that you're getting as you're traveling on the journey. If you get to the 20th of the month and you're not going to hit your sales goal, you need to have a sales and marketing rally. You need to send out a special promotion. You need to follow up on some sales calls and get them. You got to have that sales goal. It needs to be posted. It needs to be shared with your team. And you've got to have the promotions and the systems to reach out there and generate some more sales somehow. But you got to have a target. So the simple dimple method is simply, number one, how much net income do you want? Number two, how much is my fixed expense? It is what it is at this point. Now you could say, I'm going to reduce that, and that's good. Just don't do pie in the sky. You know, don't assume that you're going to be able to dramatically lower that. You got to be able to clearly see that. All right, so I add those two together. That gives me my gross profit. Here's where it gets very interesting and a little bit tricky. All right, what you need to know is, what is the gross profit percentage? What is the gross profit percentage? Let me show you an example. So here's an income statement for 4 months of the year from back in 2011. And as you can see, I just have this screenshot. I left this in here so that you could see that you can also run that statement with percentages running down the side here. So, a couple things to look at. One thing to look at, by the way, is at that time in 2011, our direct labor rate was 28%. Now it's like 25 or lower, sometimes 24. 4% on a $3 million company adds up. All right? But regardless of what it is, what you're looking for is what is the gross profit percentage? In this particular case, it's 65.35%. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Here's where you got to pay attention. I know what my gross profit percentage is across the board, 65.35%. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to take your gross profit number that you're looking for, the 250 in this case, and what you're going to do is you're going to divide the gross profit number, the gross profit goal, by the gross profit percentage. Not multiply, divide. So let's look at the example. It's 250,000 divided by 0.6535. That's 65.35%. 250,000 divided by 0.6535, which gives us the figure of $382,555.47, which becomes the new sales goal if we want to see the 100,000 net. In order to get that $250,000 gross profit, we just plugged in our sales goal based on that percentage right there by dividing the 250,000 by 0.6535, 65 point. Pause for a moment, and I want to hear from every single person who is on the line right now. I want you to type in that you got that little formula. Okay, everybody's getting it. Good, 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 good. I see that some of you have typed in some questions, and I will address those here in just a moment. This right here on the screen right here is a simple, dimple budgeting formula. Again, Ellen approved. We showed it to her, and she was just like, "That's just brilliantly simple." And it is. Math can't lie. Math doesn't lie unless you're an accountant, because it still doesn't lie, but you got to factor in depreciation, right? And marketers, hey, we got to factor in repeat and is that you can start with this thumbnail sketch, but in order to do that, you've got to be able to run your numbers, and you need to be able to take control of that. One of the main things that Ellen ends up helping people do is fire their accountant. It might not sound fun. I had to do it, and we're way better off as a result. All right. Now, let me give you some instructions to do this in QuickBooks. If you use QuickBooks, then even if you're not going to be the one crunching the numbers, you need to go in and either do this or have someone in your company do it. And what you're going to do, now this is, well, this goes all the way back to 2010, this particular screenshot, but I don't think QuickBooks has changed that much. But somewhere in your QuickBooks, you're going to find budgets, right? It's going to be under company, probably whatever, however your tabs are set up in your QuickBooks, and you're going to find budgets. And then what you're going to do is you're going to select the budget year, and what's going to happen is your numbers that are already in your QuickBooks are going to pop up, and you can just autofill across the 12-month period. Or you can put in a figure, and then you can have it copy across. Then what you can do is go back to your high months, low months, that 6-month payment on auto insurance or that one-time franchise tax fee or whatever, and you go in month by month by month and put in those expenses, and you can have a budget where you can actually print that out and take a look at it and look at your bottom line. And once you take a look at your bottom line, if you don't like how it looks, then you're going to have to go in and make some decisions. The very best way to get there is through sales. Now, if your direct labor is real high, if you're spending money that you shouldn't spend, then you got to address that. But the best way out of a hole, Ellen Rohr says, is to sell your way out. We have to be able to figure out how to make money, how to make sales. All right, once you put the budget in, then what you can do is you can go into reports. You can click budget overview and see the budget. And then once you get it like you want it, what you can do is do what we call a budget versus actual report. Now, Ellen has some very special tools. There's a weekly financial quick check. She likes for you to actually physically have to go in and type it in, because then you know that it's done. You actually did it. You didn't just look at it and not really grasp what was going on. So then you can report on your budget. All right. When you do the replay, you'll see the 8 steps to doing a budget in QuickBooks. Again, some of the early or some of the later versions might be different from the earlier ones, but in essence, you're just going to select company, select set up budget, select the year, click the drop down on the accounts field, fill in the amounts for each category. If you want to set up a new category, you can do that. I would highly recommend that you go through Ellen's course also before you do this, because one of the things that she taught us is not to have too many line items, not to have, you know, just have major buckets. Like on your sales, you should only have 5 to 7 categories. And then you're going to fill in each month's projected amount, click OK or finish, and then to view the budget, just go to report and click budget overview or budget versus actual as you go along. Ellen also has a sheet that looks like this that we use, and that's included in the program as well. You want to also track leads generated. One of the things that we do at Phenomenal Products, not necessarily at our service company, because we don't do really hardly anything online there, but at Phenomenal Products, we use Google Analytics, where we see how many unique visitors we had. We have an opt-in, how many people opted in, what are those percentages, and we pay attention to those percentages, and we change our homepage from time to time to try to get those numbers up or down. You want to track your sales by profit center, and what I mean by that is your service and product categories. For example, in the plumbing industry, you have your installations, you have your service calls, you have your service agreements, you have your water filtration systems, you know, those different kinds of things. You also want to track sales by source. You want to be able to see what your repeat business is doing. In other words, how much did we generate in repeat business this year compared to last year? Another big mistake that people make is they report on the promotion that was sent out, and it's a big mistake, because a repeat customer may have gotten multiple things, hopefully got multiple things from you, and they don't even remember getting that 20% off or that free this or whatever the offer was that you sent out by email or mail, and hopefully you're doing that. They don't remember. The only thing that stayed in their mind is that, I need to call them. So don't track. It's okay to track promotions, but most people don't even remember the promotion. They just remember to call, and that's a good thing. Are you tracking your referrals? How much are your referral partners referring? How many referrals are you getting from your existing clients. And I hope you're sending out a referral certificate so that, because you got to track it to be able to send out that referral certificate. If you're placing any ads, what kind of results are you getting from those ads? If you're spending money on ads, what are my returns? And that's in that particular case right there, you're going to want to track that each individual ad for sure. Some of you may be in a case where you do a lot of advertising and your repeat clients hear you on the radio or whatever. And we did a lot of radio advertising back in the day, so that does happen. But you still want to code them as a repeat. All right. You want to also track your sales closing rates, so the number of presentations you did versus the number of closings you had. You want to track, that's the most profitable sale ever made. You want to track customer satisfaction, or clients, guests, patients, members, whatever it is that you do. Again, in the inner circle, we serve over 100 different industries in 7 different countries, everything from restaurants, plumber, cleaning, restoration, construction, restaurants, doctor, lawyer, CPA, you name it, skincare, orthodontist, dental, I mean, you name it. You want to track your team stats. Are people on time? What's their production? And those kinds of things. Now, that's going to depend on your team and your culture and those kinds of things as well, and what kind of business you have. At Phenomenal Products, I don't worry about that stuff too much. As long as we're able to communicate, as long as we get the job done, my philosophy is if we reach the vision, we reach the goal, and we do it in a way that supports our values and who we are, we're able to communicate with each other, and we live out our purpose, we reach our goals. I don't need to sit there and say, you know, was somebody 2 minutes late or did they leave early or whatever. I'm not about that anymore, because I'm more about empowering our people. I trust our people. Next week I'm gonna really hit on this a lot. It's all about finding the right people. When we talk about leadership, it's about hiring the right people and then developing them. If you hire the wrong person, it doesn't matter what you do. You can track how often they're on time all you want. You can talk to them about sales all you want. You can talk to them about this or that all you want. If you hire the wrong person, it doesn't matter. You also want to understand how to read your balance sheet. It's easier than you think, and that's a phenomenal tool that Ellen will teach you in the course. If you have not done your administration assessment lately in the last 90 days, let's go ahead and do that. You can do this later on, but let me just go through it with you right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being poor, 10 being phenomenal, we track and report sales by profit center. Those are your service or product categories, weekly, monthly, and annually. 1 to 10, we track and report total sales daily, or as often as you have transactions. If you're in construction and you have projects, then how many projects did you do? What were the amounts? What was your gross profit margin, et cetera, et cetera. 1 to 10, we track and report sales by referrals and ads. Affiliate is a word that's used on internet marketing. But what is your repeat and referrals doing, like we talked about a second ago? 1 to 10, we track and report sales closings every day. Some of this stuff, a lot of this stuff, you can automate it. Like we have what we call an opportunity funnel through Infusionsoft, where it's tracked automatically. Now somebody has to work that, and we got a little bit of work to get it right, how we work it, but the numbers are there. Let's see, we track and report number of returns or reservices as they occur. 1 to 10, we track and report our profit loss weekly. 1 to 10, we track and report our balance sheet monthly. I don't look at my balance sheet every month, but you know, once a year, you should do it. 1 to 10, we have a cash flow management process in place that includes systems for accounts payable and accounts receivables. What's that going to look like? Well, whose job is it to collect? Whose job is it to make the call? Do we have a system in place that sends out the invoices? Accounts payable, is that an easy, simple, dimple system that's set up where instead of, you know, scribbling out checks for vendors at the last minute and taking up more of your time than you need to? Got to have a system in place. 1 to 10. 1 to 10, we plan our taxes annually before year end. One of the things that's going to happen to you is when you get more profitable, you're going to pay more taxes and you may not be prepared to pay those taxes. So what you're going to have to do is plan that out. Get with your accountant. And if your accountant won't get with you in October or November and help you plan your taxes for the end of the year, then fire them. That's what I did. I mean, how dumb is this? I'm like, okay, basically you're going to double your business, CPA. I'm going to basically pay you twice to do my tax return. I'm going to pay you once in November to do a mock tax return to figure out what we're looking at so that we can make decisions on investing in equipment and getting our tax write-offs and this and that. And then I'm going to pay you again after the year's over with to do it. That's a no-brainer to me. Well, my CPA kept dragging her feet, and I have to say that she got used to my dysfunction, and she wanted to stay there. And when I put my foot down and I was ready to grow and you know, get beyond that and change, she was stuck in that rut. And so I had to let her go and get somebody who could see the vision of, I can double my business. I can basically do this guy's tax return twice. And then finally, 1 to 10, we review our legal and insurance exposure annually or as often as required. In the inner circle, we have a small business attorney who also works with Ziegler, who gives some great advice and has a program that you can get on so that you can begin to look at all your legal issues and those kinds of things. They're never fun to look at. It's work, but again, you want to not only reach your dream, you want to protect your dream. You know, do you have enough insurance? Do you have the right kind? Did you have someone else take a look at that on an annual basis? All right, so total those up and take a look and see which of these areas are worthy of your Phenomenal Four projects. That's what we teach in the inner circle. And in fact, we had a question on that that I'll get to in just a second. If you would like to get the Financial Blast series from us with Ellen Rohr, it's an 8 training modules. You get all of her financial systems. She explains how to use them. It's $5.97. You can type in right now. If you just type in Ellen, then I'll make sure that our office gets in touch with you. They'll send you a link where you can purchase that. Or if you want to just send us an email if you think about it later or whatever. We've got a little video. We'll send you a little video on that where you can get an idea of what it's all about. We'll send you a link. So just type in Ellen if you want to get some information on that. All right? Also, or you can give the office a call, 281-634-0404. Oh, here's the link right here, howardpartridge.com/Ellen. I don't know what we have on there right now, but you'll probably at least probably have where it was we're going to do it live, but you'll get the gist of it, and we'll update that. Let me take questions. Whatever questions you have, go ahead and type them in now. Or forever hold your peace. Okay, Ellen, got people typing in. Ellen, if I can get a confirmation from my team, Victoria, if you will just confirm that you heard this and that you'll send out to these folks, you can just go ahead and send it to everybody who attended that will send them that link. Let's see. Okay. Someone typed in, my accountant has all of my numbers, frowny face. Can't my accountant be part of my phenomenal team? We plan to meet quarterly rather than just twice. Absolutely. No doubt about that. We only meet with our accountant twice a year because we have all the internal financial systems in place. But if your accountant has your stuff and they're good at, helping you plan it and all that stuff, then by all means, meet with them every quarter. All right, I got one question. Let's see. When building your service company and its systems, what did you start with? Which one, in your hindsight, had the greatest impact on your success? Okay. So, one of the things that we teach in the Inner Circle is to take your business assessment. You take all five of the assessments, you review all of that. And then you narrow down the what we call the phenomenal four projects. Which one of these systems are the most important that will have the most impact in your business over the next 90 days? Because where my business is right now, or where it was, might be different from where you're at right now. Let me explain. If we're not making enough sales, then our focus needs to be in marketing and sales. The question is, do we have enough incoming prospects? Are we seeing enough prospects to be able to make our sales goal? So is it that we're not closing enough of those prospects? Is it that we don't have the right kind of prospects? Or is it that it's a marketing problem or a sales problem? A marketing problem or a sales problem. All right. If you have enough sales coming in, but your expenses are too high, your direct labor is too high, your culture, well, let's look at profit. If you have a good culture, you got enough business coming in or whatever, or your culture is it just really bad, then but you're not making money, then you gotta focus on that. That might lead back to leadership, might lead back to coaching, it might lead back to performance. If I need to rebuild my team, or I need to make some key hires or whatever, then that might be in your phenomenal four. So you gotta figure out what your phenomenal four projects are over the next 90 days that are gonna have the biggest impact. If I'm making money, I'm profitable, but I got some culture issues, then I need to focus on leadership, which will be next week. All right. Next question. How do you vet for a good accountant? That's a good question. I think you start with someone who comes highly referred by someone that you respect. I believe that Ellen has some questions to ask them. I have a meeting with her actually here in about an hour, so I can ask her that question. But and I'm hoping to be able to introduce her today. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do that or not, but I think she has some questions for that. I think the main thing that I would ask one right now is, are you willing to sit down and help me forecast this? Are you willing to let us do some stuff in-house so that we can track and see how we're doing before the month is over? Those kinds of things. We chose a guy that we knew through some networking. He had a great reputation. We sat down and interviewed him. We knew of some other people, but we felt like he was the right guy. And then you just gotta try them out. And if they're not the right one, you gotta go to the next one. But it's so important to get that right. Okay, sorry I didn't have a better answer for you on that, Joseph. Okay, let's see. Nate, does Ellen approve of the profit first method? I'm sure she does. I have not talked to her specifically about that, but it may be a case that she doesn't want to use like the different accounts and all that. I don't know, but the philosophy, like I don't use the systems that Profit First uses, but the philosophy is phenomenal. Profit first, because everything else flows from being profitable. Period. End of. Yeah, Celeste has got a great point. If you're going to use QuickBooks in your business, then you got to make sure that that accountant is willing to use QuickBooks and that you have an easy way for them to adjust things or whatever. I personally like QuickBooks Online, but that's only because I travel and I'm in 1,000 different places, and that way I can just pull up my numbers. It also makes it easy for your accountant to go in and do things and pull reports and whatever. There's also something called an accountant's review. They can come in your office, get a backup, yada, yada, yada. So probably where you need to end up at some point is where you're doing your basic bookkeeping. You have a bookkeeper. You can outsource the bookkeeper, but you have to. So you might have a bookkeeper rather than an accountant, or rather than a CPA, who keeps those books updated, and you can access those reports any time that you want. So that could be an internal bookkeeper or external. Your CPA is just going to be help you plan your taxes instead of just telling you what happened, which is what most of them want to do. And so I think that that's a great question, is will you help me plan this out before the end of the year so I can make the best decisions and you can give me ideas on how to, you know, save on taxes before it's too late. And then having a bookkeeper or someone who can enter that data into QuickBooks and reconcile your bank statements and all that good stuff is very, very important. All right? Okay, that's all the questions, and I'm going to go ahead and close here. Next week will be our okay, so Victoria said she got it, and she'll send the link out to all of you guys. I think it's going to be howardpartners.com/Ellen anyway. So get that course. You'll love it. If you haven't inquired about the Inner Circle, then schedule an appointment to talk to us about that. Next week will be our final installment of the 6-week online training course live. You will be able to access the replay of it. I encourage you to listen to the audio over and over and over until you get the overall basic concepts. You can make a lot of change in your business just with this one course by just doing some simple basic things. But if you suffer from FTI, failure to implement, and you want the support, you want the encouragement and the accountability that comes from the Inner Circle community, then we want to encourage you to inquire about that, and we hope to see you there. Otherwise, you can get our course on Ellen Rohr. I have an 8-week leadership course that goes deeper into the leadership. I have a 12-week marketing and sales course. So you can also do that as well. But just get with the office, and they'll go over the options with you. Okay? Well, I'm Howard Partridge, and with Team Phenomenal, and our passion is your phenomenal success. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.